struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm sitting here today with Jeff Troyer. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Great to be on the podcast with you.
Oh, absolutely. I just love these things. You get to chat about all the cool stuff you're doing, get updates, and really get an impact on our audience. We're going to be talking about Automatic Response Technologies today, which is a company that you started. Is that correct?
Actually, one of my best buddies started it over 22 years ago down in a little town called San Clemente down in Southern California. And I've been with the same company over 20 years, so I've been blessed.
Well, that's got to feel good, that kind of job security, doing something that's quite enjoyable, as I understand it.
That's right. We're helping people. We're helping businesses. We're letting people know that there is this surprising, inexpensive, often overlooked tool out there that can make a dramatic difference in how you market and retain your nonprofit business. That's great.
Oh, that's fantastic. What drew you to nonprofit work?
Actually, what happened was is we were first in the insurance world, and we had thousands of insurance agents, and they were using us to send out messages, nurturing informational notification messages to their book of business, as they call it, on a monthly basis or quarterly basis or whatever. And we did this for a long, long time. And one of the agents that we had left her agency, and she went to work for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. So in her role, she was in charge of the blood cancer conferences that Leukemia Lymphoma was putting on in her chapter. So she was telling me, I just thought, I'm just going to use a lot of the same strategies that I've been using in the insurance world over to the nonprofit side. And so she began using it to let people know of, hey, you've registered for the upcoming blood cancer conference. It's going to be this next Thursday at the Holiday Inn and so forth. And be there at 8 a.m. and look forward to seeing you there. And it started going so well in terms of their engagement and the responses that they were getting and the fundraising, the upticks in fundraising that they were getting, simply because they were adding the human voice to it from an emotional standpoint, that she began sharing that with other chapter heads in Leukemia Lymphoma, LLS. And it started taking off, and I began getting calls from other people. Hey, we heard about what Roxanne was doing. We want to do the same thing. So fast forward probably 3-4 years, we've done almost 500 campaigns for Leukemia Lymphoma. And then that spawned other nonprofits that were calling us up and saying, how can we do this and that and this and that? And so we began, and we operate as a concierge, unlike most other, if not all other voice broadcast companies, who basically say, here's our technology, good luck. What we do is we say, we're going to do it soup to nuts. We're going to help you upload your list and format it. And we'll even record the messages for you if you want. We'll walk you through it. We'll hold your hand. And it's been great. So that's kind of how we got into the nonprofit world. But we're involved with rescue missions and churches and, you know, and other organizations like that. So it's been great.
You know, voice just has this real different impact. When I was trying to formulate what I was going to do in the nonprofit world after I got stationed in the Kingdom of Bahrain, and someone's like, you have like this really smooth, buttery voice. Like, you should get into podcasting. And I kind of laughed it off a little bit. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Like, if I can do something to have an impact while I was stationed over there, you know, help keep me out of trouble, right? You don't give me enough to do, I'll find a way to get in trouble. But then, you know, something jumped into my head that I've heard for many years, you know, faith comes by hearing. So you really build that connection. It's way better than just a regular email. It's way better than a text message or some kind of letter. I mean, a handwritten letter still has that certain impact, but really hearing their voice and connecting, it's just like audiobooks, right? You can go hire a voice actor. You know, I'm available for those kind of services, right? But when the author reads the book, they're able to draw you in more because they understand all the inflection points, all the excitement points, and you really hear their passion. And every book that I've consumed that's read by the author, my retention is higher, my excitement is higher. They deliver that real value, and it's a way to really connect with someone. It's like they're actually talking to you, even though they're just recording it. But I fully am on board with everything you're doing with automatic response technologies. Getting that little voice message is really something special.
Well, we ask people all the time, what do you think the most powerful communication tool in the whole world is? And if you're a nonprofit marketer, if you're a fundraiser, you're usually thinking about the best way to, how do I engage my constituents? Whether it be soliciting donations or thanking them for their donations or letting them know how their funds that they've been receiving have been put to work. Chances are they typically they'll default to, well, the tools I'll use will be direct mail, I'll use email, I'll use texting, I'll use social networks. And those are all great. But there is one communication tool that is, you know, as I said, surprising, inexpensive, often overlooked. So I tell people that before I answer that question of what's the most powerful tool, let me put you in a scenario. So I'll say, let's say it's your birthday and on this very special day, you receive two different, very different birthday messages. The first one is a text message that basically is saying happy birthday. And the second one is a voicemail that was left for you. And the person that left it said something like this. So, hi, you know, Travis, it's so great. I see it's your birthday today. I noticed that you're having this great birthday, and I hope you have a wonderful celebration. And if there's anything that I can do for you, I certainly appreciate you. If you need anything, let me know. I'm just a phone call away, blah, blah, blah. So which of those two messages is more meaningful to you? It's obviously the one where there was a message left, because the most powerful communication in the whole world is, like you said, your voice. And it's not only the ultimate top of mind attention getter, but it conveys tone and it conveys emotion and it builds relationships like no other medium out there. And yet it's often our least used resource. And so that's why it's so powerful. And that's why we believe in it so strongly and kind of preaching the word about getting your voice to go in there and be an additional layer or an additional add-on to the marketing mediums that you're currently using.
Oh, absolutely. When you read all the studies that define quality communication, they say that somewhere between 80 and 95% of all communication is nonverbal, right? So not the voices here, but you lose even more of that when you switch to text message because you miss tonality and you can't hear the smile in their voice as they're chatting, right? So when you read a text message, I mean, tell me if this has ever happened to you. You read a text message, but you read it based on how you're feeling. So even though they meant something completely innocent, you read it as you're having a bad day or you're a little grumpy. You read it as, man, this guy's kind of being a jerk right now. But you miss the delivery tonality. You miss the little snicker in their voice as they're saying whatever the thing is, because it is text only. So you miss that connection. It's hard to understand, especially when we're in a text world nowadays. My daughter's having relationships with people and she uses Snapchat sometimes, but a lot of times it's just, you know, text in the Snapchat. And I was like, I feel like you're missing part of the communication here, because do you honestly believe your friend really just said that to you in the tone that you're reading it in? Or is it possible that you're misreading the tone? And she's like, I don't really know. Well, send hit the video button on Snapchat and be like, hey, I read this like this, but I know you're not kind of that person. Am I reading this wrong? And they'll immediately send back a little bit like, oh, no, that's not how I meant it at all. So being able to use those different communication tools appropriately can really enhance, especially the end user experience.
And we're not the magic bullet. We are an additional arrow that you put in your quiver tools to enhance things that you're already doing. So our goal when we talk to people is to really cover three things that we're trying to accomplish when it comes to using voice broadcast. And that is, number one, introducing the power of your voice by adding it to your current marketing mix of channels. Number two, solving the problem of time that it would normally take to personally call hundreds or thousands of your customers, your donors, your supporters. You'd be surprised how many nonprofits struggle trying to find the time to acknowledge or thank or keep in touch or notify their donors by phone. They wind up hiring temporary callers. They bring in volunteers. And then number three, hopefully change the way that you think about how you're communicating with donors. So what makes voice broadcast so powerful is when you combine it with direct mail, email, and the web, and Facebook, and other channels, because it becomes the perfect tool for engaging your donors with personal and emotion-based marketing. And that's because it's coming. And the other reason is that the call is coming from, like you said in your opening, from a board member, a coach, a team leader, an authority figure, or whatever. Because people nowadays, more than ever, they want to hear the reassuring voice of those that they support and those that they believe in. And we got into this really to solve the challenges that nonprofits are facing. I like to refer to, I don't know if you're familiar with Penelope Burke. Penelope Burke works for an organization or has an organization called Cygnus Applied Research. And she wrote a great research paper entitled What Donors Want. And she covered the three big challenges that nonprofits face. Number one, retaining and engaging donors. That's number one. Her research indicated that there was as high as a 90% attrition rate after an initial gift. And this is because donors were not being acknowledged. They weren't being thanked. They weren't being kept in touch with. 90% they had an attrition rate. Number two, lack of staff. 74% of nonprofits say that staff shortage is the biggest challenge. And number three, a decrease in direct mail response. You know, direct mail still makes money, but less than 1 out of 5 direct mail cases ever get read. The rest are thrown in the trash. So why do nonprofits call us? Well, they call us because they're not able to, first of all, like I said before, personally call all our donors on a regular basis because they and their staff is overworked and stretched. Their donors complain that they never hear from them. They're having trouble filling virtual or physical seats for the events that they put on, and they're struggling with the low response that they're getting from direct mail campaigns. So those are the biggest problems that we see the nonprofit world having as they relate to us right now.
Oh, yeah. And it sounds like you are a really quality fit to fix some of these because you want to build relationships. The number one thing in any nonprofit is building relationships with your community, the people you're serving and the people that are supporting you. And really, it just takes a stinking lot of time. It just does. And you want to put the time in, and they deserve to put the time in. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's only so many hours. Everyone's got the same 168 hours a week. And if you're not able to multiply yourself in your vision and what you're doing, and one of those is a communications pathway, well, then you're really, really limited by the hours that are in the day. I mean, you have to eat, you have to rest, you have to spend time with your family. And if you don't get those things, well, then your nonprofit's not that sustainable. And if you can't find a way to bring something in on board, a tool like what you provide, you're really missing out on that opportunity to grow what you're doing. And the lack of staff is a big one, because I know there's so many organizations that are 1 or 2 person shops, and they're just trying to do everything. And they don't go to, was it like volunteer match and internship.com and actually look for people. They don't connect with the local high school and the local colleges to find volunteers, which would be plentiful. They just simply go it alone and they're struggling. And this is such a great way for really inexpensive. What's it like, 7 to 9 cents per call?
Yeah, a typical 30-second message. And the reason that we say 30 seconds, because that's kind of the attention span of most people, runs 7 to 9 cents. When it connects and plays, and you don't pay for visits, you don't pay for no answers or disconnects or whatever. So the process of doing this is very, very simple. They'll record a message on their phone. They'll upload, they'll send a phone list to us in Excel spreadsheet format with all the 10-digit phone numbers in one column and the names in the other. And then they'll say, basically, hey, Jeff, I need to send this message out to this list next Tuesday, and we will default the send times starting at around 10 a.m. local time, wherever 10 a.m. is. And that's really for a couple of reasons. One is we're hoping that most of them will go actually to voicemail. And there's two reasons why that's desirable. Number one is that when the call goes to voicemail, they're more apt to, there's the illusion or the impression that that person actually personally called you, because they're saying, hey, it's Bill with xyz.org, and I just wanted to leave you a quick message letting you know, blah, blah, blah. So there's the impression that they actually personally call them. And number two, they're more apt to listen to the entire message if it's on voicemail versus if they pick up live. Now, even though if they pick up live and say hello, they're going to hear the message. But we try to shoot for 75 to 85% of them that will go to voicemail. It just works out a whole lot better that way. So it's easy and it's fast. And we really have two goals when we're dealing with nonprofits. We want to help them increase two things, retention and revenue. Now, on the retention side, we recommend using what we would call customer appreciation and experience messages. And these would be, number one, thank you for your donation or gift. This is by far the most important message that you can send to someone, a donor. Again, as I mentioned earlier, upwards of 90% of first-time donors never do it again because they're never thanked, they're never acknowledged, they're never made to feel appreciated. And there's no reason why that shouldn't be happening, but they just don't have the time to do it. Testimonials. What better than to have someone who's had a great experience with your nonprofit than to share a success story? With leukemia lymphoma, they've had a couple of situations where they've had like a little 8-year-old boy who, was cured of lymphoma because of the research and the tools and all of the things that leukemia lymphoma did. And so he did a voice broadcast talking about his experience, and it tugs at the heart, and it's great. Thank you for attending our event. Again, this is a thank you message. The thank you is the beginning of the next solicitation. That's kind of how they word that. Thanking new donors who've come on board. Holiday and event-driven calls are great. Happy 4th of July. Hope you have a wonderful 4th of July weekend. Stay safe. Community announcements, COVID-19, free testing, those kinds of things. Now, to drive revenue, research has shown that one of the most effective uses of voice broadcast is for extending an invitation to an event or reminding prospects for donors that they've registered to attend a conference, seminar, or another event. In fact, reminder calls to attendees who have agreed to come can improve the actual attendance by 40%. For example, hey, don't forget you registered, I'm reading it here, registered for the upcoming blood cancer conference. It's going to be this coming Saturday the 12th at the Hilton Hotel starting at 8 a.m. Look forward to seeing you there. Something as simple as that can drive 40% more people to come because they've not only received maybe an email or a direct mail piece on it, but they've gotten a phone call to subliminally put it into their head that, hey, this thing's coming up Thursday, I better be there. So other uses, asking for volunteers, minimum donation reminders. We had a situation with leukemia lymphoma for a big event that they held in Wisconsin called the Scenic Shore 150 Bike Tour. And they had like 150 people or so that had not yet met their minimum donation, coming up for this particular event. So they sent out a voice broadcast. It cost them like $76 or something like that to do it. 98 people responded by putting a credit card on hold for their minimum donation, what they required. And they raised like $61,000 off of a $76 investment. What is that? 800x ROI or something like that. It's crazy. It's awesome. Now, by far, what we found in our experience, two of the most popular and most used ways of using voice broadcast is to increase direct mail response and to increase email response. Now, again, direct mail still makes money. Most mailers are thrown in the trash. You know how it goes. You go out and you get your pile of mail and stand over your recycling bin and chuck everything that isn't a bill or a personal letter. So simply by sending a voice broadcast ahead of a mailing and alerting people to, hey, this is a bill with xyz.org. Just want to remind you to be on the lookout for an important mailer that's going to be arriving in the next 2 days. Don't throw it away. It's a bright blue 4x6 postcard with a picture of a hospital on it. And there's a great donation opportunity information on there that you're definitely going to want to read. So again, be on the lookout for the bright blue 4x6 postcard. And their readership response goes up 3 times, 4 times, because now they've been given the awareness, and again, subliminally putting it into their mind to be on the lookout for this. And then they're going, standing over their recycling bin, and they go through it. Oh, there's the bright blue 4x6 postcard with a picture of a hospital on it. And they grab it and they read it. The same goes for email. People, even though email is free, they're spending inordinate amounts of time sending out email information. And simply by saying, hey, this is John with abc.org, and I just want to give you a heads up, you're going to be receiving an email tomorrow at noon. Don't delete it. If the subject line says XYZ, and there's important information on there and a great donation opportunity for you. Again, be on the lookout for that. You know, so it's great. So, you know, all of these things work fantastic as an additional layer to be put on that. And we've done test campaigns and proof of concept campaigns with a number of different nonprofits other than Leukemia and Lymphoma, where they have added voice broadcast to the mix, and they've seen doubling the amount of donations coming in, 80% increase in the amount of gifts. Leukemia Lymphoma is very ROI centric, and they want to measure ROI. So they're seeing like 23x, 48x, you know, return on investments, you know, simply by using this, because it's such an inexpensive tool. And yet it's so powerful because it's like multidimensional. It's your voice and it's the emotion and all the things that you were referring to earlier. It's great. It's fantastic. So I highly recommend people look into it and use it as a value-added layer is what we would call it.
When I look at the history of the things that I've done, and I wanted to talk about two things, one being the donor retention rate. I did an interview with Brady Josephson from Next After. If you haven't heard that interview, please go check that one out. He really jumps into the numbers behind, you know, are nonprofits doing what they're actually saying to you? How many nonprofits actually thank their donors each and every donation? How many nonprofits actually do this? And one of the surprising stats that I thought, I can't remember if it's 2% or 12%. Let's just say it's 12%. Only 12% of nonprofits actually thank each and every donor. And of course, there's this massive drop-off rate between donors if you're not actually thanking them. One of the reasons that people donate is to feel good. They're purchasing a feeling for whatever dollar amount. And if you rob them of the chance of that feeling, well, then you've just discarded them as a revenue source. And I'm not saying revenue source to sound like they're just your personal piggy bank, but this is that relationship piece that you're missing when you don't go back out and actually thank these donors for helping support the cause, right? You're facilitating their victory and them winning the thing by you placing them as the hero in the story. And if you go ahead and don't thank the hero, well, the hero's not going to fight any more battles for you. The second thing I wanted to bring up is that you're priming them to check their mail, to check their email, to remind them of a conference. When I look at nonprofit communication, external communication, this applies in business, this applies in leadership, this applies all over the place. If you haven't actually told them what you would like them to do, what are the chances they're going to do it? And it's crazy. I talked to a gentleman. He was in front of an audience of his people, right? Of people that support what he is doing, or at least say they're supporters, right? And he said he got up there and he's like, I'm mad at you guys. I post all this stuff on social media and not one of you is sharing it. I'm not getting any comments. And he was telling me about this and he was mad at his group. And I said to him, I was like, hey, brother, did you actually tell them at any point that the best way to support you would be to like to share, to comment on your stuff. He said, what do you mean? I was like, did you tell them the way you would like to be supported? Because if you didn't, they have no idea what you want them to do. He's like, oh, they should know. I was like, how often do you know those things inherently? If you were a mind reader, you would probably not be in the position that you're in. If I was a mind reader, I would probably not be hosting this podcast. I could do an interview with Jeff Troyer without ever having you on the show because I'm a mind reader. I know what you're going to say, right? I'm not, that's not who I am. So one of the things I bring up frequently is Jim Mattis's three-step communication process. What do I know? Who needs to know? And have I told them? Because if you haven't told them, then communication hasn't happened. Whether that say, hey, support this campaign, share this thing on Facebook, look out for this 4x6 bright blue postcard with a hospital on it. There's going to be a fantastic way to have an impact in your community. Be on the lookout for that. It's coming to you this week. You've then told them what you want them to do, and people are much more likely to do, and especially with guys, right? We're direct communication people. Hey, honey, the milk's getting low. That does not tell me directly to, hey, pick up milk on the way home. I'm much more likely to pick up milk if you say, hey, Travis, go pick up milk.
Absolutely. I mean, those are the things that you would think are obvious that you need to do that people just aren't doing. And that's the thing. So a couple of other things I just wanted to touch on too. One of the things that we get asked every so often, and this is kind of the elephant in the room kind of thing, is that isn't ART's voice broadcasting robocall? We get this every so often, not a lot, but we get it every so often. And so we always want to address it. And robocalling has been a recent negative connotation in the news due to all of the large, huge multinational companies that send out millions and millions of these voice broadcast calls at night during dinner, letting you know that you've won a fabulous vacation to Cancun or your credit card interest rates are going to drop or whatever it may be. And these are the kinds of calls that have infuriated consumers. On the other hand, when someone you know or respect or admire calls you with a nurturing or an informational message, you're more than happy to listen because it's someone that you have a relationship with. It could be a fiduciary relationship. It could be some other type of relationship. But you're more than happy to listen because you know them, love them, respect them. We give people the opportunity to opt out if they want. But we've tracked this for like 5-6 years, and less than 0.5% ever choose to opt out. 0.5% because they're getting a message from someone that they know and someone that has good news for them, someone that they respect and admire. It's been great. So that's never been an issue with us. And that's why we always try to, you know, differentiate ourselves from all those others out there that are just blasting millions of calls. So that's the good news about that.
That's wonderful because robocalls are frustrating. I understand that they keep doing this because obviously it works, right? Someone somewhere in the system is like, you know what? This is a really great idea. I'm so glad you robocalled me. And they're saying yes to this stuff, which is why companies keep doing it, which is frustrating because I think the vast majority of people agree with you and I and said, you know what? If I never get another one again, I'll be very happy with my life. But you can make these things so personal. You were telling me before when we talked that you can create a birthday message. And birthday messages is something I didn't do for a long time. You get notifications on Facebook or LinkedIn or whoever's in your friend group. And I was like, you know what? It was about a year ago. I was like, you know, that's going to be part of my day. I'm going to take 2 minutes to write out little, hey, you know, all the best for a fantastic birthday. Like, do you have anything planned? Like, is there like some big shindig going down? And I started sending these out, and regardless of what anyone will tell you, it's helped really kind of build the picture of who I am because I really do care about people. I really, if I haven't talked to you all year, you know, my bad, but at least on your birthday, I'm going to drop you a little note and say, hey, I hope all the best for your birthday. You got anything fun planned? I'd love, you know, please tell me, please share with me. I'd love to hear about it. And it's been wonderful for me, and not as a tactic, but just as one of those things to help continually build and nurture relationships.
Well, we have our system is set up to do drip campaigns. So a person can record a message, and it's just a birthday message that says, you know, hi, this is John with ABC.org. And I just wanted to leave you a quick message letting you know that I see that it's your birthday today. And I hope you have a wonderful celebration. If there's anything that I can do or we can do, let us know. Give me a call, 555-1212, whatever. And again, happy, happy birthday to you. You mean a lot to me. They record that one time. And then they will send us a list, their phone list. And if they have the birth dates on there, then it grabs and it'll send out that message on the exact day of every birthday. And I've had people literally call me up and tell me, this was like in the insurance world. I got a lot of these where an agent would call me up and say, hey, I got a call from one of my clients that got my birthday message today. And it was an older woman. And she said, you were the only one that remembered my birthday today. The only one. It's sad, but it's true. I'm so glad that I was able to provide this particular person with a little bit of joy in her life on this special day. And it just goes to show how impactful and important a birthday message can be. In the insurance world, you know, they have everyone's birthday because they fill out an application, you know, for an insurance policy and you know, the birthdays are on there. In the nonprofit world, I try to encourage, you know, everybody I talk to in the nonprofit world that if you have an opportunity to get someone's birthday, all the better, because it's just something that you can use every year. You know, they get that birthday message. The other thing that our system will do is we'll do drip calls that are spaced out like 30 days ahead of time. Like if you have a renewal coming every year in 30 days, it sends out, hey, just want to let you know your whatever is coming up for renewal next month. It's a good idea to update or review us. Whatever. So give us a call. Now, in the nonprofit world, probably not so much, you know, of that, unless there's specific events that would be coming up where they could send that out. But it's just another way of touching them. And we have, I kind of kid about the fact that we have these touchy feeling, I love you type calls. And these are just the top of mind calls. Hey, it's so-and-so and, you know, daylight savings is coming up this coming weekend. And don't forget to turn your clocks ahead before you go to bed Saturday night. And if there's, again, anything I can do for you or anything that I can help you with, give me a call. And these are just, you know, happy 4th of July, happy Thanksgiving. These are just touchy, feely, I love you, I'm thinking about you. And ultimately, at the end of the day, they're top of mind. They create top of mind. And if there's other ways that you can share this with others, we have started to get interest from various churches, you know. And again, they're in the business of taking care of their flock and letting people know they care about them and that they're praying for them or whatever it may be. And so we see this as a great way, especially if a pastor has a large group of congregants that no way, shape, or form would he be able to personally call everyone. So again, any opportunity where you need to call lots and lots of people very, very quickly for literally pennies, it's a wonderful tool to add to your quiver.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love the ROI. I love the relationship building and continuation. And really, it's just a solid all-around service. Jeff, if you can leave our guest today with one parting message, what would it be?
Voice broadcast is a surprising, inexpensive, and powerful tool that not a lot of people are realizing the potential of and yet should. It is a great way to utilize the power and the emotion of your own voice in a way that texting and emailing cannot, and it's at your disposal. Very inexpensive, easy to use. We help you out from A to Z, and it's an awesome tool, an awesome, awesome tool that will make a big difference in your retention and your revenue, top of mind.
Fantastic. Jeff, where can the good people listening to the show find you?
They can call me at 888-408-4222. Call me personally, Jeff Troyer, or they can go to automatic response, all one word, automaticresponse.com. And there's a complete, it's a great site, and it gives you kind of head to toe overview of what we do, how it works, why it works. We have sample messages of the different kinds of scripts and campaigns that a person could do. They could listen and see how each of these work. They would just click on a little button that says, schedule your free consultation. That will set up an appointment with me and we can talk. We can, I can sign you up online and I send your care package out and has everything you need to get started. And I'm your concierge guy. I'll take care of you from beginning to end. We also have a great how-to guide that they can click the link on and get that sent to them automatically. But yeah, we've been doing this a long, long time. And the nonprofit world is has come into our radar within the last number of years, and it's been a wonderful relationship and a wonderful way to use this great tool.
Well, that's fantastic, Jeff. Thank you so much for being our guest today. And you listening out there, hop over to automaticresponse.com and book a free call with Jeff. Thank you so very much.
Yep. Absolutely. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.